Welcome everyone to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
I'm hoping that we don't ruin this recording by having awkward silences.
Oh no.
We trashed the last one.
And I can't even blame it on Asa jumping up on the computer because she's upstairs.
She is. So this is our last Alpha Flight episode where we're covering just two because really the rest of the series is established here.
Yeah, this is like powerful issues.
So issue 11, we have Guardian facing shadowy figures.
To save the life of the woman he loves, he must face them.
And it sort of like one of the people in the middle is in a wheelchair and you think, is this the X-Men?
There's a person behind that person with strong shoulder pads.
Could be a Nightcrawler.
Could be a Colossus.
I would say Colossus is probably the big one.
Oh, there is a big one. There's also a woman with very long hair. There's someone who might be Marina.
Yeah.
Because we know that she's already disemboweled Puck.
Yeah. So we turn and are opening. It's a big panel. It's a big splash page.
It is called Setup.
We have Roger Box.
From Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
On Leap Day.
Oh, that's fun.
A rare day, and in this rarely visited one-room apartment, two very special people.
He's showing out this woman in purple fur and high boots.
We've seen her before.
We have. It's Delphine Courtney.
Yes.
And she's on apparently a recruitment spree. She's like, don't take too long, Mr. Box. The fires of vengeance dwindle with too much contemplation. And he's like, yes, 24 hours, and I'll be ready to join you.
And she
be right there.
And she's like, she walks away thinking four down, one to go. So far, the plan is proceeding perfectly. And Roger Box is like, this is weird. She's so beautiful and yet so cold.
And what she's proposing.
And he's like, I've got to inform Guardian. Like, I need to speak to Gary Cody. This is Roger Box calling. What do you mean he's on vacation? He's got to be there. This is important. Hello? Hello? He gets hung up on.
Rude.
And then he goes to the box armor and reveals it for the first time.
It's sort of, at first I was like, what is Apocalypse doing in Roger Box's closet?
Yes. What is Darkseid from DC Comics doing in Roger Box's closet?
Is that the name of the episode? What are they doing in Roger Box's closet?
So then it's 2 days and 800 miles to the southeast. We see Heather Hudson packing up her Ottawa apartment.
It's so sad.
The plants are gone.
Their plant window. All those how many boxes did it take for the macrame alone?
I know. And she's having some feelings like, I really love this place. And
it's one of those, what I envisioned ABBA's Knowing Me, Knowing You was like when they talk about the house and the empty rooms.
Except she's talking about like the third member of their throuple.
Yes. Yeah, she's walking through the empty rooms of her house or half of the duplex or whatever. And memories stir, dust motes floating in a sunbeam, dancing, swirling, random. And you get these really neat thought blurbs, like little bits of dialogue, sort of. If this was a movie or a TV, like we've all seen these scenes.
It's a voiceover.
Yes. As she's walking through, having feelings, and even Puck gets a blurb. New name. Hey, I busted my buns to be in Alpha Flight. I want to be in Alpha Flight. Like, such significant moments. And
she goes downstairs and says, bye, landlady.
Landlord.
The next 4 months rent takes us to the end of our lease. It's paid up. And she's like, have fun in New York. Bye-bye.
And Schnitzel, their little car.
The little VW bug.
Mr. LaPierre will take care of that.
Yeah.
He'll hold their apartment for them until the lease is up and then probably lend it to someone else. And off she flies to New York.
To the World Trade Center.
Ooh.
Head of Roxxon. And this is where we have Delphine Courtney talking with the people she's recruited. Roger Box is there. We have what's-his-face from the chess game.
Smart Alec.
Smart Alec.
We get flashback. We get Wild Child in a reveal. He almost murders Flashback. And like they're clearly not getting along.
Wild Child looking rough.
Like it's all his face is just so flat and his nose is just so upturned. He almost looks like a snake.
He gets a glow up later in the series.
Oh, well,
he doesn't always look this bad.
These were members of Gamma Flight, we find. So there's Box, the first world class engineer mechanic without equal. There's Diamond Lil, our indestructible giantess. No known force can harm her. Flashback, who can temporarily summon future versions of himself, but he's already aged, so.
Yeah.
Smart Aleck. And last, but by no means least, resident killing machine Wild Child. Like, who let Wild Child onto Gamma Flight?
I know. So they're in a conference room, and then enrolls in Jerome Jackson.
Who's in bold, so you know he's an important person.
And he's like, you are all part of this project.
What we are going to do is utterly destroy James McDonald Hudson. That is what you were gathered for. You're going to crush him. And you're going to crush and destroy Alpha Flight 2.
So then we cut to Mac flying through New York.
He had a big important meeting. So he is 2 hours late for picking up Heather. But he says, like, it should be okay. He should be picked up.
Yeah.
And I wonder why that meeting went so long.
And he goes to the terminal. He's like, my wife should be here. And they're like, oh, she got a ride. Here's a business card that was left behind.
Because the person dropped it in such a flashy and ostentatious way. Like, she wanted to make sure that people knew that she dropped this card.
Mm.
Like, that's basically what the dude at the gate is saying. Remember when you used to be able to go to a gate to pick up someone?
No.
No.
We didn't fly.
I do. I went with my grandpa to pick up his brother from the airport.
So this is where Mac is like, oh no, not Jackson, not after all these years. And he runs, changes into his suit, and flies off to downtown New York City. He's like, I gotta get to Roxxon now. And he's putting things together.
Yes. He gets a voice in his helmet. Attention, Guardian. I know you can hear me. I know the frequencies in which your cyber helmet operates. I have your wife.
I'm holding her in an office on the 43rd floor of #1 World Trade Center on the east side. If you will come and surrender yourself, she will be released unharmed. So he crashes through a window.
Well, he melts his way through a window. Oh. He doesn't want falling glass to hurt anyone.
Oh, fair. And there's a TV screen that's just a recording.
Yeah, how many cassette tapes do you think it took?
This is a VHS tape.
It is.
And like, this is a long game this Jerome Jackson has been playing. Like,
it's been years.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, you want your wife? Get in the elevator that just mysteriously opened.
I feel like we need Chad from Gray Malkin Lane to do the villain voiceover. He does such good voiceover work.
And Mac's like, okay, I gotta do what I gotta do. And then
he meets Omega Flight. They're all there. There's a few dupes from not Madrox, but from Flashback.
Yes.
Smart Aleck has this gigantic brass headpiece.
Sure. Box is there. Diamond Lil.
I like her outfit. Like the green and yellow diamond things and like the diamond motif for her eye mask.
If you love Diamond Lil, you're going to get so much of Diamond Lil later in the series.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like through Serpent Society things if I keep reading Captain America for the Demolition Man appearances.
Oh. No, that is not Diamond Lil.
Diamond Lil. She's not part of the Serpent Society.
Right. Yes. You're thinking of Diamondback.
That's what made me think of the Serpent Society.
Yes.
I was like, she belongs there, but her name doesn't fit. Why am I thinking this?
So we leave this part of the story where Omega Flight is there ready to waste Mac.
Yeah.
And now we go to Sasquatch's background story, Unleashed the Beast.
And we get him in some little red trunks.
He's experimenting on his already muscular body.
There are so many electrodes everywhere.
And he's like, all right, this is log day 239.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this project. I'm going to have a flashback to when I was in college and I hung out with Bruce Banner because it worked. Fiddling with gamma radiation worked out so well for him.
Yeah.
I want that for myself.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm just trying to improve my vision and other things.
My eye muscles will be so good that my eyesight will be better.
And he's like, I made my assistants all leave because I'm independently wealthy, so I'm funding this myself.
Yeah.
And he's looking real hunky in that panel.
Yes, he is.
And
like, good things are happening with the shading.
And he's like, this is it. And like, he blasts himself with tons of gamma radiation. And just the art that John Byrne does.
It's sort of like the blobbity blobs when Super Skrull was materializing in that radio dish.
Mm.
But it's also very 80s, I feel like. The different shades of orange and pink and the blobby blobs.
Like the morphing. And yeah. All of a sudden he's Sasquatch and he bursts out of his chair. He bursts out of the building and just goes
walls.
And just goes running.
And Snowbird is being Snowbird. And she sees the wreckage and that has been wrought.
And she's like, James Hudson asked me to check on Lankowski after he failed to make his daily report yesterday. So we already know that Lankowski is working with Department H somehow.
Yes, because of the radiation research, that's what garnered the attention of Mac and why he was interested.
And she's like, holy shit, like this place is wrecked. There are mystic barriers here of which no white man has knowledge. So if he disrupted them, like this is bad. Like, good thing I'm here.
Yeah. It happened too long ago, so she can't use her post-cognition abilities. But she follows the tracks and finds a oil rig site that has also been trashed.
And then a naked Lankowski buried in some snow.
So she wraps him up in her cloak, flies off to a hospital, and he's being debriefed by James Hudson. And it's like, that orange furry monster, that could be you? And Lankowski is very laid back about this.
Yeah. Like, and he's like, maybe some cosmic stuff mixed with the gamma stuff.
Like, I should be green. Like, buddy, you're really trying to be Hulk?
Yeah. Like, and Michael Tu Youngman is the attending physician.
Yeah.
And
he's like, take it slow. You're still recovering. We're lucky Snowbird got to you when she did. A few more hours and you would have been dead. And he's like, no, I want to go back to work. Blah, blah, blah. And Snowbird comes in and is like, hey, I'm also a metamorph. I will teach you how to control your form.
Yeah.
So you actually can use your human brain and not just go rampaging off like a Hulk. And then like, oh, what should we call you? We'll call you Sasquatch.
Yes, but then we sort of get time placement where Mac is like, the Prime Minister is sure to hit the ceiling when he finally learns of my aborted attempt to reclaim Wolverine from the X-Men.
So this is before issue one.
Yes, this is between X-Men 109 and issue one.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I don't know if that's showing up in a footnote in the Marvel Unlimited version. I have it here in this.
The bootlegged?
Yeah.
It says in X-Men 109.
Yes. Dang. So, they were trying, like, it seems like Mac might be trying to leverage Sasquatch. Like, maybe we try to get Wolverine again, but now we have a big powerhouse.
Yeah, we don't need Wolverine.
Yeah.
We have a Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Soon, these heroes will face their greatest challenge, and it's a team shot. One of them won't survive it.
It's such a good, I want this as a poster.
That would be a good poster. They're all there, except for Heather.
Yes.
And number 12, double size issue.
Number 12, foundational issue, I think, in Alpha Flight's history. I think X
there,
history.
You say comics history.
Yeah, like iconic cover. And cool. One shall surely die. It is all of the members and individual crosshairs.
Yeah.
And we open up with Delphine Courtney going over to Heather and...
And Heather's like, where's my husband?
Like, I've been waiting for 2 hours. So she doesn't know she's been kidnapped, but she has for sure been kidnapped.
She has, yes.
And...
She's pissed.
Yeah, and...
She knows something's off. And this Delphine...
She's like, I'm just a business associate of your husband. And why do you watch some TV?
I don't know where he is. Ha
ha ha.
But also come to this gigantic TV cabinet.
Look at this console TV. And Heather's like, nothing's been on since 1966 that's worth watching.
What was 66?
I don't know. Is that when like the Beverly Hillbillies ended or something?
Or some show set in Canada?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. But, and then the TV turns on and it's what's his face?
Hello, Heather. It's been a long time.
And it's Jackson.
She is rocked. Who in the...
Oh, Jerry my gosh, Jackson.
You. And he's like, this is pre-recorded tape, so I don't know if you actually recognize me or not, but I'm Jerry Jackson.
After all, how could you forget the man you betrayed? And then we get a backstory of like...
The recap from issue one?
Yeah, where...
Oh, no, not even issue one, from Mac's origin story.
Jimmy Hudson is... you know, trying to create this super soldier suit.
And it's like an exploratory scientific device. And Jerry had sold all the plans to the military.
And it ruined this guy's life. Like, he's like, I went home and my wife was leaving with the kids.
That's what you got for marrying the boss's daughter.
And then, like, I tried to hang myself and it didn't work.
It's...
And then I was confined to a wheelchair.
It's dark.
It is. Like...
brain damage because the person nurse didn't find him soon enough and no money, even his ticket back to Canada had been revoked, like he had nothing, but nothing except his revenge and his dreams of revenge.
Yes. So then Guardian appeared and he's like, I know what this is,
I know that helmet.
And he started researching and figuring out, like connecting the dots that where is James Hudson?
Yeah.
And how can I find him?
And I know that Roxxon is interested in acquiring strange energies and sort of like Max Helmet.
Yes.
Like, they will help me with this. And they connected me to...
Delphine Courtney.
Delphine.
Who's wearing a crop top and a leotard.
It... Oh, well... I don't know.
It's a weird outfit.
The outfit is undescribable, dear listener.
Yeah. And like, I told her my plan, she agreed, and we were gonna gather together a bunch of these folks.
Just as Jim Hudson has recruited superpowered individuals for his Alpha Flight, so I followed in his footsteps. Thus, I created my own Omega Flight, and they have but one purpose: the death of James McDonald Hudson. The destruction of Alpha Flight.
And then the tape ends.
And the tape ends, and Heather's like, fuck this.
And it's like that power down where it's like going into the smaller
the circle.
Square.
Yeah.
Where it's like, phew. Like, I remember it. My grandparents had a TV where you turned it off and it would just...
Meow.
Yep. So she's like, I'm not going to be part of this. The fuck if I'm sticking around? And Delphine Courtney like starts roughing her up.
She throws her over that gigantic TV console.
Yes. It slaps her.
Your subjugation and destruction is important to Mr. Jackson, too. After all, our research has led us to the conclusion that much of this betrayal was, in fact, your idea. And Heather is still, like back.
She is legit just getting beat up. And Delphine is like, now, if you do not wish me to chastise you further, and Heather says, chastise? Why, you blue-haired harpy, and she goes to tear at her face, and it comes.
Yeah, there's clearly some skin coming off.
So then we cut away to an isolated hilltop in Ontario, and it is Snowbird and Shaman.
Like, Shaman looking heroic, Snowbird looking all,
majestic and flowy and goddess-like.
I was about to say goddess-like.
With
that headpiece that's so big.
And they're sort of like, there's something happening, like I can feel something's off.
Yeah, Shaman is like,
there's a terrible evil. The stench of death hangs heavy on the winds.
Yeah, and Silver's like, are you sure? Like, it's the anniversary of your wife's death. Like, I know that there's a lot going on.
You're having some feels.
And the Fates struggle mightily to keep their secrets against even adepts such as us. And they still activate their signal to call the other Alpha Flight people. So we cut away to Vancouver, and Lankowski is suiting up in like a anti-friction device outfit. He looks like Cactus.
No.
It's big and green and lumpy, but it's very warm. So he's like, where is Aurora?
And she's coming in from the pool.
From the pool in Saint-Tropez.
Yes. She was bored, so she went there.
And she's like, what? I'm back. It's fine.
Oh, do not scold me, Sherry. I was simply returning the quickest way possible through the window.
Yes.
And then she's like, let's have sexy times. And he's like, no, Jean-Marie, we can't.
Like, we can't start something that we can't finish.
He's like, let me hop on your back while you fly. I'll stay nice and warm in my new suit.
And he like looks away and is like, go get your clothes on and we need to go.
She's so unhappy.
He looks back and she's already in her outfit. She's like, D'accord, Walter, let us be on our way. And he really is like a lumpy, jolly green giant.
Yes, he is.
Back.
He's wearing a slanket with a hood, like
with a like a juggernaut helmet.
Yeah, someone needs to make this and market it.
Yes.
It's Sasquatch cosplay. we cut to Puck. He is meditating to try to take away some of his pain that he's experiencing.
He's been living with this pain, like he's well used to the process, but it's still interrupted by the signal. So he gets dressed, he goes to the rooftop and is like, please someone come pick me up. I don't want to be left behind again.
And who picks him up?
North Star.
The saltiest Jean-Paul ever.
And he's like, oh, greetings, North Star. I'm surprised to see you coming to pick me up. I was expecting Aurora or Snowbird.
Come to think of it, why haven't you been hanging out with your sister lately?
And he's like, that's between me and my sister and zero concern of yours. Have you felt the beacon yet? Great, let's go. And Puck is like, nothing I said was an invitation to bite my head off like that.
We cut to the ocean, where Namor and Marina are just playing around. They're frolicking.
This one's also real creepy, because she's described as a woman child.
No.
And then in like the next panel, they're making out.
But she doesn't get the signal because her amulet is back at their house and they're doing it in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, alien, amorphous, she is a tantalizing child woman like none he has ever known. Like, A, that makes Namor a pervert, pedophile, something. Like,
it's not a great look.
What was it with the 70s and being like...
This is the 80s. Again.
Oh,
still.
Are you sure?
But also, like, they've described her, like, she aged naturally. I don't know why it's described as, like, child woman, because she grew up normally on that inbred island.
That's right, the inbred island.
She's above the age of 18. And it's not like a fast track where it's like you were born 2 years ago and you were artificially aged up. Like, she grew as a human grows. She's an adult woman. Why is she described as a child woman? Like, she's had socialization.
Yeah.
Biologically, she's like a bazillion years old, but like developmentally, she's at least like 19.
Yeah.
So
she hatched like 20 years ago.
Yeah. So this is very weird how that's used to describe her when she's a grown ass woman.
It's creepy. I almost said 70s again. It's creepy 80s talk.
It's unnecessary. Like, we've run across a few things so far where we're like, that's unnecessary. Like, that is a storytelling device. You don't need it. And it's for this, some of Shaman stuff. Like, there are beats where you're like, you really didn't need to write that. Like,
no,
it's actually just fine without that.
Like, for as much as like the other development stuff is good, that part is not.
Yeah. So anyway, they're doing it. We cut to the rest of the team meeting on this hilltop in Ontario. And Walter Lankowski unzips his hood.
This Cactus is coming undone.
And Northstar is like, Jean-Marie, we need to talk. I said some foolish things. It was not my purpose to offend you. And surely there must be a solution to our differences other than the breaking of our partnership.
And she's like, Walter, get over here. And Walter's like, Hotshot, you said your piece. Whatever you're selling today, the lady isn't buying, so push off. And Northstar shoves him.
He's like, keep your stupid paws to yourself. I'm not in the habit of being manhandled. And Farmy is like, aren't you?
But then Walter's like, oh, so we're going to do that sort of game? Okay, I'll Sasquatch up.
And even though Northstar and Aurora are very fast, their reflexes are still normal. And Sasquatch just grabs Northstar. Like, this is basically like the time that She-Hulk and Monet were fighting. Like, you could have just not fought and had a conversation.
Yeah.
But no. So they go at it. Puck drop kicks Sasquatch in the face. And he's like, Puck, you miserable. And he's like, I clearly didn't hurt him. I'm hoping the shock of it snapped him back to his senses, and, but he uproots a tree.
And to, like, go after Puck.
He's like, he's out of
control. And Shaman's like, fuck this. And he draws a staff from his bag and plunges it into the ground so vines grow up and grab Sasquatch.
Oh, we've seen him do this to Wolverine.
Yes.
And so he does it, and it works, but then Northstar just punches Sasquatch in the face.
And then Snowbird's like, oh, for fuck's sake. And she turns into the snowy owl.
She goes after Northstar.
And
he's like, stay out of this.
Shaman gets more shit from his bag, and he's like, stop this foolishness. Like, what the fuck, guys? And
freezes everyone.
Yes. So if we pause here, this team is not functioning well. Like, let's talk about Alpha Flight as a team at this point. They're not great together.
No, Northstar and Aurora can't be in the same room together. And
Walter can't be with Northstar. Huck can't be with Walter. Snowbird can't be with Northstar.
Yeah. And Puck is like the most easygoing one. And like, who's going to say no to Snowbird?
So what we're seeing here, I mean, I've said it through probably all these episodes, that what we're seeing in these first 12 really seeds so many things for the rest of the series that runs for 130 issues.
Yeah.
Like, characters will come back that we've seen. The story beats will come back. Team dynamics like this, like Alpha Flight as a team, I would say, is functional and happy maybe half the time.
Oh.
Like, it's very much... I'm reading Defenders right now, J.M. DeMatteis's run on Defenders, and the Defenders themselves are founded as they're an anti-team. Like,
they're
a team that isn't a team. That's how they're branded. And I've described Alpha Flight as Canada's Avengers before. They might be more like Canada's Defenders, where you have people coming in and then they'll leave. Like, no one's left yet, but that's going to be a theme as well. Like, any team that runs for 130 issues, you're not keeping the same lineup. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see this breakdown of the team in the first 12 issues. Like, Byrne spent a lot of time establishing them as individual characters, but this is maybe the second time we've seen the team itself. The first one being in issue one.
Oh, yeah.
Battling Tundra. Slash Snowbird's dad.
What?
Slash Snowbird's dad. Tundra.
Oh, that's right. The headband.
So this is only the second time we've seen the full team come together. And wow, they are not working.
No, dysfunctional is the word.
Yes. So it's striking me as a tad of Defenders. The X-Men work better than this shit.
As we've seen.
Yeah.
Like, it's their teamwork that puts them over the edge in defeating Alpha Flight.
So Shaman's like, we have shit to do. Let's transport.
Let's be on our way.
And I love the art of how this transport happens.
So you get, in the top third of the page, you get two panels. Like, one of them, of course, is Shaman being like, get it together. The second one, he's spreading some of the powders from his pouch in a big arc. And then the bottom two-thirds of the page, you get four horizontal panels, And you can, it's the ring as it descends. So it's just above Sasquatch because he's the tallest. And then the second one, you see the green lion at the top, and above it, Sasquatch is gone, but below he's still there.
And everyone else's heads are coming in a frame. It lowers to their torsos, eventually to their feet.
Yes. And there's nothing above the green lion.
Yeah. And they're transported to where Jimmy Hudson is.
And he's like, Alpha Flight, where have you been? Grab a partner and dance.
So this is a big double page spread of the battle where Mac went down that elevator and it opened up in its Omega Flight. Yep. So this is where we get a bunch of things happening. Like, everyone's pairing off, basically.
Yeah. Flashback goes after Guardian, blips one of his future selves in, it gets thrown against the wall, but he just keeps summoning more and more of his future selves, which the continuity would be so rough to write him as a character.
It's multiple men, but with time.
Yes. Aurora's like, Northstar, don't just stand there like a lump. You heard what Guardian said. These people are enemies. We must stop them, and quickly. And then she pairs up with Wildchild, and he slashes her arm.
Yeah.
Like, there's a red burst.
Like, he has those razor fingernails.
Yeah. So he gets her chest and shoulder, or arm and shoulder.
And Snober is like, hold up.
Hold, Wildchild. You are not the only one with claws. And she goes to transform.
And Diamond Lil punches her at the base of the skull or something?
No, she pulls out one of her own hairs because her hair is indestructible because she's indestructible.
Oh.
And she's using it like a garrote. Like, if she pulls hard enough, she's... Oh, no. Well, there went some action figures.
Well, that was like, scary.
Yes. I mean, they did not get garroted. They just toppled.
Yeah.
I think Cyclops ran into one of the wrestlers.
Oh. Well, anyways. So Diamond Lil is using a hair?
Yes.
Okay. You,
like, almost decapitates Snowbird. So Shaman throws some powders and does something to mess with Diamond Lil's mind.
Those are some fun vines, though.
They look like little people. Like
Oh, they are. I thought they were flowers. Those are definitely people.
It's like little people, little arms.
Attacking her mind.
I thought it would be, like, even if it wasn't attacking her mind, if they were just, like, little creepy crawlies crawling all over her, like, that would be an appropriate defense.
And we see that Snowbird's life force is draining away.
She's old and withered. It does not look good for her.
And then we're getting it. So this is connecting a lot to the backstories.
Yep.
And
her origin.
Yeah.
And Sean was like, oh shit, I was too specific in that spell that bound her to the land. I meant the planet. And no, she is bound to Canada. Like, Canada itself, not just across the border into New York City.
Smart Alec is there to try to take advantage of this.
He's like,
and he's like, I'm going to take this bag of tricks and find out what you keep inside. And Shaman's like, for real, like, don't look into it.
Like, my grandfather's ghost told me to never look into it.
My grandfather's skull, the inventor of Toaster Strudel, when I unboxed him for my YouTube channel, his skull spoke to me and was like, don't look in there.
Oh, no. And he, Smart Alec, does. And as he said, he looks on all wavelengths of light, far, far beyond human capabilities of perception. Simultaneously, he probes high into the ultraviolet, deep into the infrared. With radiation not normally considered part of sight, he sees. And if he learns anything by this, he will tell no one. When Michael Tu Yangmin's grandfather taught him the ways of the medicine bag, he warned him against ever looking into it. Now, as the last dwindling spark of his sanity flickers out, for an instant, Smart Alec knows why. Well, he's out of the picture.
Box is twirling around Sasquatch. They're having a good old-fashioned gigantic wrestling match.
Yeah.
Aurora and Wildchild still tangling. Northstar lifts up Wildchild.
Flies, and then, like, at the last minute, lets go. And, like, if Wildchild did not have strength and regeneration, he would have died. Like, he was flung into the wall that hard.
Upstairs, we're back with Heather.
Who's
looking real rough because she got the shit slapped out of her what is revealed to be a robot.
That was a slap heard around the world.
And we have an android on her hand. Robot, if you please, Mrs. Hudson.
She's very salty about that.
Yes. And we find out that Delphine Courtney's creators were old-fashioned in a chauvinistic sort of way.
Yeah. Like,
they wanted a hot female robot.
Yes. Open-ended deductive capacity that some people have likened to intuition. Given voice and form of a approximating a human female.
I've been programmed only to assist Mr. Jackson in achieving his goal, whatever that might take.
Oh, what's the name of the myth with the sculptor creating Galatea? And there's that novella that was so good by Madeline Miller. And it's based off of the same play that My Fair Lady is based off of.
The Pygmalion?
Pygmalion. It's a Pygmalion situation.
So anyway, Delphine Courtney is like, I have places to be.
Yeah, and she just leaves.
Yes, and Heather's like, all right, well, I can sneak out now.
And like, this door was left open, and I'm sure it's a trap, but I need to get my husband, like, I'm going to spring this trap and deal with it. So, Guardian is still being swarmed by Flashback, and Puck is like, I'm just going to punch Flashback in the face. Like, even when we work together in Gamma Flight, like, you should know better.
So that makes all the future and past selves disappear.
Yep.
And
then Box leaps after Guardian and they fall through a window, like down a shaft.
Yep. And
he's like, I've always hated you. I know how to counter your force fields now.
And Mac is like, Box, what are you doing? Like, Roger Box, what are you doing?
Yes.
And this is when it's revealed that the person inside of the Box armor is not Roger Box. It is Jackson.
Yeah, because Guardian's like, but not you. I recruited you myself. Your psych profile was perfect, intelligent, patriotic, loyal. And there's some monologuing as he just beats the shit out of Mac.
Yeah.
Like, major punches, blood going flying. He's Jackson. Your life is mine. I'm going to grind it out of you. And when you're broken and dead at last, it will please me to do the same thing to your miserable witch of a wife. And like, backhand, gut punch, like,
yep,
all the things.
And Mac is like, I've only got one chance with the power pack in my suit. Like, I have some wires. I've routed them up into the Box armor to short circuit it.
And now, and there's a kaboom.
There's a gigantic explosion. We see Jackson in his wheelchair in a control center, like, just scream out. His head is smoking.
It's smoldering, yeah.
Roger Box is tied up in a corner as Delphine Courtney comes in. And
he's like, I told you so. I told you it was not stable to hijack and use my armor like that. And if anyone could have beaten it, it's Guardian.
And we cut back to Mac and he's rough, like
bruised,
Jimmy bloody. Hudson, all the exposed circuitry.
His eyes swelling shut.
Yeah. Like, this explosion took a lot out of him too. And he's like, I have to disconnect my power pack. Like, it's going to overload and then I will die.
It's
like,
unsafe. And when I read this in Unlimited, and I recommend it for other folks, if you're going back to this issue to read it. Do it when you have a zoom in.
So you want the panel by panel?
Panel by panel. Because on this page, there's each number on the left side. And then it sort of like swirls over and then you get the image within that extended number shape. So you get the 10 seconds that he has. Like, yep. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And as we get near one, Heather comes in and she's like, Mac.
I wonder what's behind this door. Like, she was just opening doors trying to find anyone.
And he says, Heather, no, don't come in here. Get dot, dot, dot. And he explodes. Like, that's his skeleton.
Yeah. Like, the flame, like, the still the shape of him is there. And then he's on fire and red. And he gets a final thought bubble of Heather real small.
And he's a smoldering corpse. He's and she just says,
is he a corpse? He's just like a pile of ashes.
Yeah.
He can't believe it.
And the last page is a big, like, one image, and it's just her horrified looking at it.
Of this pile of ash as it's, all the smoke is going up.
Yep. And her saying, Mac, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. And it was Guardian who died.
Yep. Something you would not expect.
Absolutely though, not.
Like, when you were first reading this, who did you think was going to die?
Shaman or Puck?
Okay.
Because I knew Northstar survived and Aurora. Right.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's Marvel Comics. So, like, we're reading this in 2024.
Oh. So, like, no one dies, really.
Yes. And
but, like, for the team lead, I wasn't expecting it.
No. Like, the person that we've really invested in as, like, the character that really doesn't have flaws died.
Everyone, oh, like, restrictions and...
Everyone else has something weird happening. Yeah. Like, Shaman has, like, his personal life.
His personal drama. Snowbird can't leave Canada. Sasquatch is slowly losing control of his Sasquatch form and is turning into a raging Hulk. There's the interpersonal drama between Northstar and Aurora.
Puck is in a bunch of pain.
Yeah. Well, really, well, he might have the most flexibility compared to others.
Yeah.
Like, he's used to that pain. Like, that's what he does, his ritual to help himself adapt to it.
But Mac was like, I'm heading up this whole team. I have government backing.
Yeah.
Or I had government. Had. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, in terms of the event, we've done... The stories have a lot of background.
Yeah.
Like, years and years before the actual event. So... In terms of events, not a lot has happened. They fought the X-Men and lost.
Yep.
They fought Tundra and won.
Yep.
Sort of like a last hurrah.
They've had side adventures. Some of them.
Some of them have.
Michael Tu Youngman has been nursing like half the team, it seems like.
Right.
He's like, Puck, I'll take care of you. And Walter, I'll take care of you.
Northstar lost his chosen father, figure, slash partner, slash something. And yeah, Puck got disemboweled.
Like, Marina's not on the team. Like, she was on the team for like a split second.
Oh, that's right. There was her adventure, like figuring out who and what she was, and then she ran off with Namor. And yeah, so like, not a whole lot has happened, and now they don't have government backing.
Nope.
Their leader is now dead.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of an engrossing story, it's like you have to keep reading to figure out what's happening next.
Yeah.
And I really do like the next issue.
Mm.
It's one of those silent, well, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we're 6 months into our Alpha Flight journey now.
Yeah.
And we'll be clipping along at a quicker pace.
Yes. But it's so good.
Yeah.
Especially right now. So, dear listener, tell us what you thought about this big reveal, the death of James McDonald.
Were you shocked like we were?
Shocked and appalled.
Yeah.
What did this make you want to read more? Did it make you want to read less?
Do you want to read more now?
Yeah.
Are we drawing you in?
Let us know.
And we will catch you next time.
Be well.
Bye.